Glory to God. You know, we're just right on the edge. And you can feel it. The glory is growing rapidly. And I can feel, I really can. Actually, I've seen it to some degree. This next room, it's not the room that we'll occupy in the revival. The next room really is what he's trying to bring us into, is a dressing room. You say, what kind? Well, one that he wants to adorn you with everything that's necessary for the revival. It's a preparation place. Hallelujah. If this room here is the revival, he wants to put us in a room over there and put the makeup on us and the clothes and pull some things out of us and put some things in us. We're not ready yet, but at least we're going into the dressing room. Hallelujah. At least we're in that part where the makeup's being put on. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I worship you, Jesus. I feel a lot closer than I've ever been to it. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thank you for it, Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, His presence is here again tonight. Thank you, Father, for your glory and for your honor. Oh, your peace. It's so sweet. How many of you thank God for the peace of God? You know, it's the thing that'll carry you through always. Hallelujah. But while I was there, I was with Pastor Chuck Miles, and that's Pastor LaRue's down in, when I was at Pastor Frank's. And he came down. And I flew down there, but he drove over. It's about a 3-hour drive from Houston. And we're sharing a room there, and he was a real man of God, a real sensitive man of God. And as you know, we called back here from Houston and had our intercessors begin to pray for Tim and Leah Stemple. That's Dave Roberson's administrator and a prince of a guy that many of you have met that go to the conferences when they were having the conferences in Tulsa. And his grandson, the night before, when I called here, a young man that Donner knows, I didn't know him. How old was he, Donner? 21. He was killed on the road. I think it was in St. Louis, somewhere over Missouri. Somewhere in Missouri. So we began to pray. You know, it was just part of this entourage, this eulogy of attacks that's been coming against the church. Now, I can tell you this, whether you pass it off as propaganda or a good kind of speech that encourages, we're getting so close through His grace that the threshold cannot be tolerated to be breached. What are you saying? I'm saying revival, the outpouring, what we've been asking God for across the board of any of the people, the churches that are really on this walk and really doing everything. It's getting to that point. And my good friend Dave, I'd have to say that he's spearheading it in the Spirit. But I can tell you what's going to happen. He gets in. It's going to cause a cascade, a backlash of wonderful things in the Spirit. If you're doing the things in the Spirit like we've been doing and calling it in and calling our city saved. Hallelujah. I've concluded that, seen that. So I'm headed somewhere with this. I just want you to understand something. Even more so than ever before. There's a real pointed attack out there to stop the churches that are going forward. Dave Roberson's son, not long ago, as you well know. And Bill had been here two or three times, 30-something years old. 36. Went on to be with the Lord in his sleep just a couple months ago. Tim Stemple's grandson, but in between that, you had a niece, Steve Roberson's niece, that was also his granddaughter. That's right. I knew that, but his granddaughter that was also killed in a car accident. Now, I said, man, Pastor, I didn't really come to church to hear all this. No, those of you that are intercessors, you did come to hear this. Because you're the ones that say, I really don't want to bury my head in the sand. There's joy and there's peace in the Lord. But also I understand the battle. And if I don't hide from it, He'll give me the authority. He's already given us the authority to win in it. Now, Daisy called here. First it started with Bill Roberson. He's 36. Died. Unexpected. Then Steve Roberson, the brother to Dave, his granddaughter, 11 years old, was killed. Then Tim Simple's grandson was killed. Then Daisy called, and her her grandnephew, her sister's grandson, 20 years old or 21, he was killed. Just, this is all sandwiched. There's a madman out there. And he's running around and he's trying to kill a lot of people. He said, boy, I really hate to hear that. Listen, God's given us a way in the Spirit. If we'll use our authority and wield that sword to begin to pull those things to a place where they really... Because here's the deal. Do you know that... Now see, Donner, she saw something in the Spirit before it ever came. She saw it coming as a black cloud and the attack against the church. And so, well, he's always attacking the church. Yes, and I understand that as a whole. But you that have been on the walk a long time, you understand this. There's a... You know that we're in a battle at large. You know that. But sometimes he'll only lay out there and there won't be much heat of the battle because he's planning a strategy. Because we're going forward. We're not sitting here dormant. We're marching on the gates of hell. And we're taking territory. Well, when he can't stand anymore and he puts together a large enough scheme and he thinks that it'll work, he'll unleash the hordes of hell and they'll go after it. But you know, even when he comes at you physically or spiritually or mentally or anything else, do you know even when if God shows you that it's coming, he's showing you that so you can take your stand in the Spirit and get ready. But even if he shows it to you, that doesn't mean he's mandating it. That doesn't mean he's approving it. 5 minutes before the test started, Jesus' blood has already provided enough to get you free. Hallelujah. Just because he shows you something. And he showed us. And he showed some people like Donner. So the enemy's out there. And so Chuck Miles, he said to me, he said, Pastor, what do we need to do? I said, well, I don't know. You know, I just know this. I know that at large, this thing's out there devouring whatever he can. And I'll tell you this. And I couldn't go into it this service because Donner knows this. What we know about the part of God, about his covering, his safety, and his keeping power is just as intact right now as it's ever been. Hallelujah. So, I know that at least, I don't know about Daisy's. She's a covering. And I'll bet you just because she was praying for him somehow, he got it right. But I know those other ones, I know they made it in. I know they made it in. But was it because God had a glitch in his covering? Absolutely not. Even when the enemy finds a loophole somewhere and gets something done, it sure wasn't God's will. Hallelujah. We know that. So Chuck was saying, Pastor, is there any way we can stop it? Well, I know this. It's against revival So the best way that we do win at large is this. We just don't get diverted and we don't stop and we keep going into God and we keep fasting and praying and calling those things that be not as though they are. Hallelujah. Which means I say my city saved and all my children are in and just keep worshiping. Don't stop. But then he said, now if you get anything, so it was sitting on my desk today and I'd prayed and prayed and prayed during the day and hadn't even thought about it, and worship, and prayed in tongues, and then started to leave to go home, get ready for church, do whatever. And the Lord said, no, don't leave yet. I said, what? Reached over and grabbed that and he said, now pray. So I began to pray and he said, well, what I want you to do, because you know you can get specific marching orders from your commander in chief. Isn't that wonderful? We've got the blatancy of the word. And this is what he said. He brought up Psalms 149. He said, I put a sharp two-edged sword in their hand. What for? That they may bind. This is what the psalmist said, that they may bind their kings with chains and their nobles. And he was talking about spiritual things. He was really talking about principalities and powers, rulers of darkness. He said that you may bind them. With what? What is the sharp two-edged sword? It can't be anything other than the Word of God in your mouth and in your hand. So he said that you bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. This honor has all his saints. It's an honor. It really is. Somebody said, I'd really like to have the power to cast out devils like me. Don't you like the way she does it? I love it. She doesn't allow them to stop services. She just does it and goes on. Now, she is very much part of the fivefold part of the body of Christ. Fivefold ministry. Fivefold. She'll teach you how to get free and to set others free. But did you know? Here's the amazing part. If you know who you are, what he said was the moment that you got saved, you didn't have to go to a seminar and you didn't have to really learn a whole lot of anything. All that he said was, these signs will follow them that believe. You'll speak with new tongues. You'll lay hands on the sick. And oh, you just square one baby Christians. You'll cast out devils. Hallelujah. When I get to be where Donner's at, I'll start casting. Oh, no, you just worship God and just keep growing in the Word. You're qualified. When do I get qualified? How many minutes ago was it that you got born again? That's when you got qualified. The new nature qualified you. Hallelujah. So my commander-in-chief said, I want you to do this. And what we normally do is when somebody's in, then we'll give you off Friday night. And you just take that off to rest the rest of the week. He said, what I want you to do is I want you to come here. Lift up that two-edged sword. Begin to speak. And so we normally do that on Friday nights, but specifically we're going to do that. And then he's going to give us some very kind of pointed things towards this thing. Hallelujah. Because he really wants to get our authority in it. He really wants to. So I called Chuck. I said, this is what we're going to do. The Lord said, you'll have to obey at every location and locale if you want to have a, you know, whatever he says to do. I said, at the least, get your intercessors to speaking the word against this thing. Because we do have authority. You know, yes, it's on the rampage. And yes, it's got some calculated kind of plans to keep this thing going. But you know what? The length of the test really, really has a whole lot to do on whether or not we stand up and exercise our authority. So I want you to come out Friday night, 7:30, and we're going to speak the word. Hallelujah. Just speak the word in confession like we normally do and point it at this thing through the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. We'll go after the Bulimoth canines, huh? King James version of, we go and kick down. Father, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you for your word. I thank you that it cannot and will not return void. that it will absolutely accomplish what we send it to do.
Yes.
In Jesus' name. Amen?
Yes, amen?
Now, you know, we've had a lot of devil talk this week. I see them everywhere. No. But it is true, they are everywhere. And this wave we were talking about, I have seen it. I have seen it in the spirit. And I've warned people. And I said, I see a lot of destruction coming. But the thing of it is, its whole design is to put fear in you to where you can't operate anymore. It paralyzes people. You don't realize how much fear is really out there. And I told him, I said, to me, there's about three kinds of fear. There's a normal fear to where if a pit bull or a big dog or a rhinoceros or a bear comes charging at you, or somebody jumps out of a bush and aims a gun at your head, that's normal fear. You know, you're going to be apprehensive. You're going to, you know, and if I saw a bear coming after me, I'd run. Unless God told me I could rebuke it and it'd freeze on the spot, then I'd stay. But if He didn't tell me that, I'm getting out of there. There's a normal fear. There's a reverence type of fear that comes with respect and reverence like we have for the Lord. Because He's our Creator. He's the ultimate. He's the only one that can determine whether we go to heaven or hell. But He gives us that choice. But I mean, He has the final say-so. Then there's an unnatural, supernatural fear and terror that the enemy lays on you. And that's the one that just attacks your mind and stays there till it paralyzes you. And the Lord has been teaching me more and more on it because I understand that type of fear also. Years ago, right before I got born again, I used to have nightmares about my daughter Paula getting killed. I mean, I would wake up just drenched in sweat. And that fear had come on me. I got to where I didn't want her out of my sight. She was only about six then. And I got to where I hated to go to sleep. You know, because that worry about her. And then one day after I worked 70-something hours, I was always tired. But on Sunday, I'd try to do something with the kids. I wasn't born again, but I'd try to make that my family day and do something. So I took them to the beach in Galveston. And my daughter Rena got stung by a jellyfish. And so I'm trying to get help for her. And I turn around and look and there's no Paula. Couldn't find her anywhere. So that terror tried to come. You know, I'm asking people, did you see this little blonde girl? Did you see her? I thought maybe she wandered out in the water and got pulled away or something. And so, I mean, I'm just, my heart's here in my throat and I can't find her. Panic is starting to set in. And my little twerp had found some lifeguards and they had her in a car and they're cruising around looking for me. That's why I couldn't find her. I had told her to stay with her brother and she didn't. But that just that unknowing, just even for a half hour, it's awful. It's awful. But now that I have the Lord, He's taught me to confront things that I used to be afraid of. There used to be a lot of things I was afraid of. Abandonment was one of them. You know, because when my mom sold me, all of a sudden I was with my family, and the next minute I'm with strangers I don't know. And I'm crying and bawling, no amount of gifts and presents could make it any better. I got scared. They even got me a puppy, a Cocker Spaniel. I didn't want it, didn't want the trike, didn't want the new shoes. I wanted my family back. So then whenever they'd take it or leave me alone or they'd go to town, fear had set in. You know, you get where you're scared to be alone. But what if they don't come back? So they couldn't. I got to where I had this unnatural fear of things like that. And later it became the fear became of men or people that drank. Because every time somebody drank around my mom's house, I got molested. So I'd hide behind doors, scared. My sister broke a chair over one of them's head, made them leave me alone. She was all of 10. But as I got older, I decided I didn't want to be afraid anymore, so I got mean. I thought anything they could do, I could do meaner. But fear and terror is how the devil operates. He'll take something and he'll just magnify it so big that you get where you can't breathe. You get to where you can't focus on what's good because he's pulling you in all these different directions. He's good at that. He's good at that. I have counseled a lot of people that suffer with panic attacks, anxiety attacks. And I'm going, and there's no criteria for what he does to people other than the fact, I mean, there's no, you know, level of people. It hits the educated, the uneducated, the children, the old, the medium. I knew a woman one time that wouldn't leave her house to go get the mail. She just knew somebody would nab her if she opened that door and walked out of it. So she kept herself a prisoner for years until she got a hold of God. Amen? These kind of fears are real. They're devils that are sent to torment. Did you know that there's probably 20 million people in our nation that haven't got help that are mentally disturbed from one kind of fear or another? It's enough to start a whole nother nation. Because now they just tell them, well, we'll put you on this. Keep you calm, Valium, all sorts of other stuff. Or the ones that don't want to go to a doctor, they just go buy a big sack of pot. And I think half of our nation went to pot when pot was popular. But they had to calm their nerves. They had to do something because fear was always, or it's usually always on somebody that way. Another good example even is Howard Hughes. He was rich beyond measure. And he had such a fear and phobia of getting dirty or getting a disease or touching anything. He ended up a recluse, locked up away. Wouldn't come out. Wouldn't do anything. What good did all that money do? What good did any of it do? He lived in a self-made, devil-inflicted prison. We can let our fears rule and reign over our life, but that's not what the Word says. And that's one of the biggest design this whole attack had, was to shake your foundation. To see if God, you know, the devil's just trying. I can just see it just like in Job. Well, this one died. What are you going to do now? This one got in another accident. I mean, where I went in Crestview, the pastor there was in a car wreck right before I got there. ICU for a week. I said, no, he'll live and not die. He's still alive. Thank you, Jesus. They revived him, though. He did go into cardiac arrest. And I told him, I said, you know, the devil will get right on your shoulder. Oh, well, maybe you'll be next. Maybe God really won't protect you. And I'm telling him, you're a liar, devil. Amen. This whole thing is designed to put fear in people. Because after all, if it happened to my brother, the Dave Roberson, what weapon would you have? That's what the devil is set and tell you. You know what it told me, though? So when I'm worshiping God, 10,000 can fall by my side, and I'm not going to. I serve the Most High God. I have a good relationship with Him. And I'm not going a day before I'm supposed to.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
And if I went tomorrow, which I know I'm not, but if I did, that would be the right time for me, because Satan's not taking me a minute early. But the way I see it, if the Lord tarries, I'll be coming back to visit you when I'm 120, going, we really just knocked the socks off of them, didn't we? And I won't be walking like this and stoop with a cane. I'll be running up the steps going, well, come on, you guys. Aren't you going to the promised land or not? Hallelujah. We win. We have already won. We're just going to walk into it so unbelievers can see it too. But he had me on trust. It goes back to your foundation of trust with Him. Either you're going to trust Him to pull you up and out, or you're not. If you don't have that kind of relationship with Him, I'd really work hard on developing one. Because Bronk can't fight all my wars for me. Now, he can pray and support, but he can't fight my battles. Because when they tell me to die, if I don't win, Bronk ain't going to die for me. Amen? And it's not fair even to expect other people to fight all your battles for you all the time. We need to get positional to where we can help the babies come up. Now, what Bronk said, it is true. Babies can cast out devils. I know because I used to when I was a baby. They said, did you fast for 40 days? And I said, nuh-uh. That proper English always gets me. Well, what did you do? I believed Him. Actually, I had as much fun with it then as I do now. Seen a guy go at a 45-degree angle and he wouldn't fall on the floor. And I'm sitting there going, and his eyes were bugging out and he's screaming at me. And I started laughing. I had my kids with me. I was only, I think, barely 5 months old in the Lord. I said, hey, kids, I think it's a devil. I said, let's just all hold hands and say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. The guy screamed, get away from me. Ah, but he couldn't run. He was like this. He was going to lunge at me, and he's like this, and he couldn't move. And I go, wow, this is cool. Jesus, Jesus. Finally, we released him because he didn't, you know, I didn't know what else to do. I was too young. You know, I found out why he didn't get totally delivered. Because he was suing for a settlement. And if he got healed and if he got delivered and if he got set free, he wouldn't get all his money. As it was, he lost half of it because he got healed whether he wanted to or not, to a big degree. God given him an opportunity to know God's real. And then you know how baby Christians get annihilated by other people that come banging on your door and know the word. One of them came to me and I was trying to be nice. I said, no. I said, I got my own way of believing. Thank you. But when I went to shut the door, they stuck their foot in it. Oh, I hate that stuff. So give me your hand, Bronk. I'll show you what I did. I said, oh, okay. I took his hand and I shook it and I locked in. I put my foot there and I locked up and I said, let me tell you about my religion. The Holy Ghost and fire. That guy started screaming, trying to pull away from me, trying to get out. And I said, no, wait, I'm not done. I was just fresh off the farm. I was strong. They never came back. Run up my driveway. Ah! It's a devil. I'm going, come back. I've had fun. I'm nicer than that now, though. I try to be kinder. But, you know, it was just automatic reaction. Somebody going to threaten me by sticking their foot in my door and not let me shut it. They're lucky I didn't break their foot. I was still pretty carnal. Bam! But God was already teaching me. No, just hang on to them, honey, and start praying. They think tongues is of the devil anyway. What am I she carry out of my? Go. That either, now wouldn't have been something if that old religious devil had come out of them and they got filled with the Holy Ghost. We need to get back some of that boldness. You know, I laugh at me now, but we really need to get it back. I had one person ask me if I thought my way was the only way, and I said, no, but if you wake up in hell, you wish you listened to me, won't you? This is pretty determined. But I love them, and I don't want to see Satan get anybody. I want everybody to trust God like I trust Him. I love Him so much I can understand totally why Paul wasn't upset when he said, just to, you know, to be absent here is to be present with him. You know, there's a real peace knowing that even when you leave here, you're going somewhere. Going somewhere good. I love it. I have tremendous peace with my life. And it's not like I don't have storms. I get lots of storms. But I can't wait. You know, Peter, he was pretty good, but when he got out on the waves, he took his eyes off the Lord and he fell. He actually was walking on the water with him. But then he got involved in the storm around him and he fell. See, that's what happens when we take on the care of the storms that hit. It's one thing to have concern that will put you into prayer. But for you to try to take the burden of something that God needs to carry, you'll just slow God down. And it's hard to turn things over to Him when you love Him. It's hard. But you can through this. And that trust and that knowing that no matter what you do, God's going to do everything He can to move that mountain for you. So give Him. Let's always give Him something to work with. Amen. Don't you love Him? Isn't He good? Are you excited that you have a God so great? I am. Just makes you want to get happy. And I am. In Psalms 46, 1 and 2. We have to learn to stay and hide in the shadow of the Almighty. I love it when I have seen devil-possessed people look at me, but then they turn real white and scream, and I thought, Lord, I painted my barn. I don't think it's that bad. But that wasn't what was taking place. When they looked, they saw Jesus. And devils are terrified of Him. So don't feel bad if somebody looks at you, screams, and falls over. That means they saw Jesus. In Psalms 46, 1 and 2, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. That means He's present with you. He's with you. He's present. He's staying. He's not leaving. It says, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea? So in spite of all the things that are happening around you, in spite of all the storms and in spite of all the troubles, He's still there with you. He's never going to leave you. He said, I won't abandon you. I'll not leave you orphans. I'll not leave you helpless. He is in love with you. And He's doing everything He can because He wants us to get into a place to where we trust Him so much. It isn't going to matter what anybody says or does. It isn't going to matter if they, you know, if your hero or shero backslides. It's not going to matter. Because you're going to go on for God anyway. Because you have that personal relationship that no one can steal from you. No one. I have people coming to me all the time. One come up and told me one time when I was in up north. They said, well, we were on fire for God. We loved Him. We had a good relationship. But the church did us dirty. We haven't been back in a church in 15 years. You need to pray. And I said, and you need to repent. What? I said, nobody could take you out but you. I said, the devil can't do it. You have to agree with him. I said, you didn't have that relationship you telling me you had if you walked away from God for 15 years. Because see, I know that from when I did stop going to church for 7 years. I would cry and I'd weep and I'd tell God I was so sorry I wasn't the woman you thought I was. But I never blamed God for where I was. I never blamed anybody. I always told him it was me that was deficient. Because I was a baby when I went under all those attacks. But he brought me back because I still trusted him. He won't let you slip out of His hand if you really trust Him. Even if you made a mistake or you're in error about something, He'll make sure the truth will come to you. I love that about Him, or I wouldn't be here. We need to stop focusing on what's wrong in the now. We need to start focusing on what our future has. What position are you taking in this army? You're going to take, you know, it doesn't matter what you do in it as long as you're obedient to God. There's never one person more valuable than another. He had to do something with how I was raised. You know, if you're going to be raised like an animal and you can attack anything in the natural that moves and have no fear, I mean, I'd try to duke it out with grown men when I was 11 years old. He had to do something with that kind of stuff. That's why I tell him I trust him, because the battle's really not mine, it's his. That's why I'm not afraid to do what I do. If I had to live in fear over things that's happened or what things I've been told, things I've been condemned with, things that I have confronted in the Spirit, I wouldn't be here. But Jesus is always with me. The Holy Spirit's always there, and I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Truck tried to run us over on a bridge coming into Crestview by Pensacola. Somebody new driving, I guess, one of those big semis, and they just started coming over. There's no lane there. You know, that bridge is still under construction. There's no room. It's your lane, and it's the big brick wall. And so I just laid on the horn, warned them, but I wasn't afraid. I pray over my vehicle when I get in. I loose ministering angels and warring angels to protect me. The blood of Jesus is always surrounding me. And so I have no fear. And then I loaned my new car out one day, and they said, "You're going to loan out the new car?" I said, "It is a car to serve people. It's just a car. I love and appreciate it, but it's only a car. It's not more important than somebody that has a genuine need." You can't let things like everybody, you know, I used to be married to a guy, he'd park way out in the North 40, take 3 parking spaces so nobody'd get a scratch on his vehicle. Did you know every time he did that? Usually he'd come out there and there's some scratch or dent on it. I said, "Well, you park so silly they couldn't get around you." He'd get real upset because I had a new truck and I'd put my dog in it. I'd have a good time in it. I'd go. Nothing ever happened to my truck. I wasn't afraid. He said, "You going to put that dog in that truck?" I said, "Yeah." I said, "She looks so pretty in it." She's a big black wolf mix. And I had a blue truck. Black and blue goes good together. You know, I am a woman. We do color coordinate. But the thing of it is, you can't be afraid of everything. You can't be. Because it will attract devils like a magnet, since it's a devil doing that to you anyway. That's why, do you think they say the thing you fear will come upon you? My mom's another example. I'll tell you how serious it is. She used to be terrified of being 50. Boy, when you're 50, everything changes. Your hormones change. Why, you could have a heart attack just like the men do when you turn 50. I mean, she had a real fear of this. She died of age 49, cirrhosis of the liver. She didn't have to worry about turning 50. She died in April. She would have been 50 in May. Fear can grip you. And it can paralyze you if you don't confront it. If you have something you're afraid of, I would tell the Lord, "Lord, I have this fear and I can't work it out on my own. I need your help." You're never going to get rid of something by, as we call it, sticking your head in the sand. and never dealing with it. I had fears. I've dealt with them. There used to be a poverty fear. We used to get starved out so many times, I was always afraid we'd never have enough food. When I got born again, I was down to one sack of cornmeal one time, and I had four kids at home. And I just said, well, God, I guess it's up to you. People started showing up at my door with groceries, and I never told anybody I had a lack. Even the preacher that didn't think women should be able to preach or didn't let me join their church, even they brought food. He said, I don't know why I'm bringing this to you. And I'm like, I prayed until I got my paychecks. God will provide for you, even when. And my neighbor was upset because I had a dog that chased his cows, but he turned around and gave me 20 huge roosters, butchering age. Yay. They dressed out like 10 pounds. They were huge. And they were young, tender, juicy. And I plucked every feather with joy. My kids were happy. But I trusted God. Therefore, we had no lack. Isn't he awesome? Yeah, we all know Bronk just thinks it's way cool because I used to hunt, butcher, do all these things. I say, oh yeah. Everybody said, don't hit Bambi. I said, no, it's not Bambi. That's Backstrap. You misquoted its name. Sorry, ladies, but I mean, that's just the way it is. He's made every provision for us. He loves us. There's not one devil that can rule and reign over your life if you choose not to let it. That's the one good thing I saw, like I said, when I was serving Satan. When Jesus appeared to me, I knew he had more authority than the devil.
Hallelujah.
I loved it. Because now, when I know that he's instructed me, and he will, he'll give you instructions. One, I had to become devil free. In order to become devil free, I had to let go of stuff. I had to learn to forgive. That was my biggest issue right there. I couldn't forgive stuff. I was such an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth kind of person. I didn't want to let go of the anger, and I didn't want to let go of the hurt. So therefore, I became dangerous to myself, even as a Christian. Because if you don't let go of these things, the enemy will come in with a giant size hook, and he'll shake you so hard you won't know who you are anymore. He's got it in there for a reason. When he said to forgive or he can't forgive you, he meant it. And when he said to let it go, let it go. You'll never know how much I was so glad, so happy. I mean, I busted loose, I praised, I worshiped, I was dancing all through the house, if you can imagine. The day I didn't want to hurt anybody anymore. The day I didn't want to destroy someone else's emotion just to make them hurt as bad as I did.
Jesus.
I could shred a person in 30 seconds or less and enjoy it just because of the pain I had in me that was never dealt with. But God's not like that. He loved me enough to correct me. He loved me enough to start instructing and teaching me. But about the time he starts to do something with some of us, we run. Because pruning is painful. Take off that mean branch snip. Take out the unforgiveness snip. Take out the mistrust snip. Pretty soon you're like this. You're getting short. Hi. I used to reach a cup. Did you get the coffee for me? It hurts. to let Him redo you. I was raised rough like the guys, you know, don't show no tears, don't do this, don't do that. Until I didn't do anything that was normal. I told somebody, said, did you come from a dysfunctional family? And I go, is there a normal one? You'd have to know what normal was to know if he was dysfunctional or not. He loves it. He wants us to succeed more than we want to. One of the biggest things that blocked me from receiving from God too was pride. That used to be the thing I held on to out of all the poverty, out of all the abuse, out of all this stuff. Now that's okay. They can't make me scream uncle or nothing. I got my pride. That's why I was laughing Sunday. I don't have any pride anymore. None. Don't need it. I got Jesus. I got the Holy Spirit. He's unconditional. Even when I mess up, He loves me. Even when I fall short, He picks me up and says, dust yourself off, daughter. Come on, you can do this. But I had to want to turn my life over to Him. Because your emotions will try to pull you out on every corner if you don't. And it's easier sometimes just to give in and wallow in your emotions than it is to make a stand for something that's right. He says not to fear the things that are coming. He's unleashed. The devil has demons after demons after demons to destroy people, to destroy cities, to destroy families. He's good at what he does. This is nothing new. He's done this since the beginning of time. Since he had that in operation. He wants to destroy anybody, everybody, because we were made in the image of God. He's not going to let that go. And the first thing Adam did when he fell short was hide. That's what the devil is trying to get us to do now. Hide. Hide from the issues. Hide from this. Hide from that. That's why I told people, I said, we hid so long, we're losing ground as far as rights and everything else go. We were a nation that was founded on God. And now we're a nation becoming well known for the witchcraft, for murdering babies, for perversities, homosexuality. We've become a mockery to the ones that used to look at us with respect for the strength that we had in God. We've got to take back the integrity God wanted us to walk in. We got to become something honorable. A vessel of honor that God can pour Himself through. I have determined I'm not going to bow my knee to the devil. I've had a lot of people, even since I've been a Christian. Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean people aren't going to insult you or say nasty things. You really do just got to let it roll off like water on a duck's back or it'll sink you. And understand that they're not crucifying their flesh. They're staying carnal. But you know what? Eventually they'll get left behind. You got to stay in a relationship with God or you're not going to make it. Because He's going to turn up the heat, Satan is. He's not going to decrease it. We're in a real spiritual war. And how are you going to win the war if you don't trust God? You're not. No matter how bleak it looks, you're going to have to believe what He has to say. And if you stand faithful, He'll turn it around. I can't find anywhere where He failed, can you? In Isaiah 41:10-13, I love this because every time I've been in a battle, I always got these words, fear not. Fear not. I could turn open my Bible, it'd be to fear not. I could walk into a Christian store, they'd be playing, fear not. And I thought, oh man, here we go again. Another battle. But I love it because every time I heard it, I knew I had victory over that battle.
Glory.
I'm always in a battle, it seems like, of some sort. And if I get one fire put out, there's another one lit. So, you know, you just go from one battle to another. But God will refresh you. He'll come and strengthen you. He'll hold your hands up when nobody else will. He loves you, and He doesn't want you to fail. And verse 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Behold, all they that were incensed against thee shall be ashamed and confounded, and they shall be as nothing, and they that strive with thee shall perish." He's not talking about just, you know, he's talking about your enemy, Satan. If you keep focused on the Lord and you keep worshiping and you truly want to change, He'll change it. He'll turn the situations around for you. But you're going to have to start loving and trusting God more than you love yourself. Because the first one He changed was me. He didn't change everybody I thought He ought to change. Change that man you gave me. Or take him away. He changed me, though. Bronk's laughing because he knows it's true. I'm just like that. What you see is what you get. I don't know how to gussy anything up. To me, Jesus is that real. He's more real to me. One lady told me, get off this religious stuff, because my son was going through something years ago. Get out of that religious mumbo jumbo and get real. And I said, honey, I said, Jesus is more real to me than you are. I said, I'm pretty sure if I shut my eyes, you'd just disappear. I shut my eyes and she disappeared. She said, oh, this woman's a nut. She never encountered anybody that wouldn't back off from God once they raised their voice toward Him. I said, we'll win. We'll have victory in every situation. And we did. You're not going to tell me He's not real. In verse 12 it says, thou shalt seek them and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee, they shall be as nothing and as a thing of naught. So when you start really figuring out how insignificant the devil really is in comparison to God, you can win battle after battle after battle. Because He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He said, I'll be there, I'll strengthen you, I'll hold up your arms. How are you going to fail? So what if someone else didn't make it? It's bad. You always grieve for it. But it doesn't mean you're not going to. So what if they say the wars are going to be over here and over there? And I had people calling me during hurricane season going, please, please pray. I'm terrified. And they are fearful. They're an awesome thing. I've been right on the brink of them. When I even come, I went down the ocean and looked at it the day before it hit. I was in Crestview. They said, are you going to cancel your trip down there? And I said, no, God didn't tell me to. Well, what if you get stuck? I said, what if I don't? Well, it spawns tornadoes. You know, the last time a few people got killed. And I said, well, if I stopped over that, he'd have a tornado at my door every day. God's calling. He's got a message for you. I want to encourage your hearts today on trusting Him. He can bring you through every trial. But when He starts dealing with you to let go of stuff, you really need to listen to Him. And if you don't have the strength to do it, exchange it for His. He's so good.
Yes.
You don't think that Paul or Peter or James, John, all of them, they went through trials. But they did not give up on God. They actually walked with Him. They knew. Yeah, but we have Him in us. We know. We have the new nature. We have the same DNA. We can walk just like Jesus. We can change from glory to glory. We can do all these things. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, if you're young, if you're old. Just matters on if you want to change. Just matters on if you want to finish your race. That's the only thing that matters to God. That's it, really. He just wants to know that you're going to give Him something to work with. You know, it was hard for Him to add just about right amount of stuff to shape me and mold me. I was already like a brick. You know, He had to get a hammer and chisel in some areas. But it finally worked. I finally could see that the greatest weapon of our warfare really is love. All the things that I walk through isn't because I used to be a witch and know the other side. It's because I learned to forgive and love people. I hear people all the time, well, you know, it's rough. I don't know if I can forgive them. And I said, well, just go ahead and open the door then and pucker up, because Satan will be there in about 30 seconds to give you a big old spoonch. You need to shut those doors. You need to ask God to come into your heart and help you with these things. I want to go over to 2 Timothy. Then I want to start praying for some of you. We have all gone through trials, am I right? This is Paul talking. He's just getting ready to finish his race. Paul, he was a fire starter. He was stubborn. You know, if you're Midwest or raised like we was, we said he had a lot of grit. In verse 16 it said, we're in chapter 4, it said, at my first answer no man stood with me. See, he's just got betrayed by a bunch of people. If you go back and read the whole chapter, he'll talk about Alexander the coppersmith, all the different ones that betrayed him, you know. And he said, at my first answer no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. All men. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. So see, he followed Jesus' pattern right there, and he said, I didn't lay it to their charge, Lord. I forgive them so you can work on them. I forgave them because that's what Jesus did when the Roman centurions were crucifying him. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. I want every one of you here to have victory. So you need to understand, if you're going to love like Jesus and you're going to walk like Jesus, then you're going to have to forgive like He did too. There's no room for hatred in a walk with God. There's no room for prejudice. There's no room. And I don't mean just against color. I mean there's no room for men to be prejudiced against women or otherwise, you know, in positional works. There's no room for color prejudice either. We're all the children of God. And I do understand what prejudice can do, because my mom was extremely prejudiced and my son was 1/4 Filipino, and she tried to throw him out of the crib when he was a baby because she didn't like the idea that I had crossed that line. So I was 16 and she's trying to kill my 2-week-old baby in a drunken rage. I understand what hatred and prejudice and other things do, because society was prejudiced against us. We was just, you know, dirty white trash. The same doctor that told my mom she wasn't fit for society. Let her die. I know what hatred can do. It nearly killed me. Because I developed so much hatred for the human race. I enjoyed, when I was a witch, tormenting them. I'm ashamed to say. But I have absolutely sold my life out to God. And I won't let the devil use me that way to hurt or harm other people. When the doctors took up that oath, I mean you no harm. We all need to take that up as a Christian. I mean you no harm. I want to see you well. Satan's mean, isn't he?
Yes.
Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. So when you think there's not one other person that really gives a rip, He does. And strengthen me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all Gentiles might hear. See, Paul crossed a terrible line back then, because you didn't give things to the Gentiles in those days, especially something as precious as Jesus. They were the elite. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Because of why? Because he trusted Jesus, and Jesus stood with him in the hardest of times. And verse 18, it says, "And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be the glory forever and ever." Amen. Is it not true that no matter how angry we get, no matter what, when we think we've fallen short of the glory, we know, when we know God, we know, "Lord, I just blew it. I don't even make excuses for myself anymore. I just say, I blew it. I need your help. And if there's something not right in my heart, I want you to help position my heart where I can make it right. I want that heart like you have, Lord. I want to see people the way you do. I want people delivered. I want them healed. I want them set free." Because usually when you're hurt and tormented inside, you're going to hurt and torment everything else around you. Or the enemy's going to come to where you never have any peace at night. If your family's not cool, you know, you're going to blame it all on them. But it's not true. He loves you. And He came to set every one of you free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So I want every one of you to start searching your heart. Because I'm not going to call people out individually tonight. I want to do a prayer line. This one. To strengthen you for the days to come and exchange your weaknesses for His strength. He's laid it on my heart that that's what we need to do, because we're ready to launch into another battle. That we can be the ones that puts Satan on the run. Amen?
Amen?
So search your hearts. Then I want you to come up and get in a line. And we're going to pray and exchange your weaknesses for His strength. That you can do all the things that He's called you to do, because He loves you. He wants you to succeed more than you want to. He's just that kind of God. There's no devil in this universe that's going to stop you once you make up your mind and you decide you're going to become in the express image of Him. Because if I believed that I could be stopped, I wouldn't be here. I mean, how many times are they going to tell you you're going to die? How many times? It wasn't just illnesses. You know, I got hit by that 3/4-ton pickup as a pedestrian years ago. He tries hard to destroy you. But if He can't get you through that, He'll work on your mind with unmerited fears, rejection, condemnation, hatred, different things. He'll come after you with a fury to keep you at arm's length away from the Lord all the time. Amen? And I know you experience this. It's torment. It's torment. when you're in lack. It's torment when you can't accomplish or you think you can't accomplish what God's calling you to do. It can be torment if you don't understand what Satan's doing to you. How many of you go through these kind of things from time to time? I don't like to let them live there a day. I can remember when things used to happen, it'd keep me pulled out for months. Then the months shortened to weeks and days. Now I'm getting pretty good, it's just hours. That, you know, and sometimes there is a stronger battle where you got to pray and worship and fast longer. Or worship. A lot of times it'll break with pure worship. He really does inhabit the praises of His people. So how many of you want to exchange your weaknesses for His strength tonight? Quit charging hell with a water pistol. Because right now I can tell you, He'll drop load an extra measure of compassion, an extra measure of strength. He'll drop load it into you tonight. He'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. So please, why don't we just do it? Come up. Get prayed over.